Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erech and Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Dalid. You will notice that we have a framed section and a diamond that appears in the Gemara text, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara you will notice a number 5. This is because we are in the middle of a series of sources that indicate that everyone is chayav in whatever, as we saw in our previous year list of mitzvahs. And the sources emphasize that the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim are those that are bound. In each case, the Gemara is going to ask, well, that's obvious. If Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim are not duty-bound, then who would be? So wouldn't it have been sufficient to simply say Hakol Chayavim b'Mikra Megillah? What do I accomplish by adding Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim? And as our markings continue from our previous year, we have diamonds around the mitzvah, and we've double underlined with dots in it the phrase Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim. So as you scan ahead, you can see this repetitive nature in the Gemara. So now we continue with the Gemara itself. Four lines from the top. Hakol chayovim b'mikra megillah, koyanim, levim, v'israelim. Everyone is bound to the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah reading. Kohanim, levim, v'israelim. Pshita, well, that's obvious. What do I gain by saying Kohanim, levim, v'israelim? The Gemara answers, lo tzricha, livtil avodosam v'chrev Yehuda amar Shmuel. I need to emphasize that Kohanim and Levim are bound to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah with a practical application regarding those Kohanim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash that were involved with serving in the Beis HaMikdash. The point of this source is that they have to take off, they have to stop whatever they're doing and listen to the Megillah reading. In other words, Megillah reading supersedes the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. The Omar of Yudah Omar Shmuel, Koyanim Avosim, Levim V'duchonam, Yisrael B'mamodom, Mevatlim Avodosim, Uboim Lishmua, Mikra Megillah. Rav Yudah Omar Shmuel tells us that Kohanim who were involved with the actual offering of sacrifices, Levim, who were B'duchonam, Duchonam is a stage, it's a platform on which the Levim stood for the songs, the singing, and the instrumentalization that accompanied the offering of sacrifices. Yisrael b'mamodam is a reference to the representatives of Klal Yisrael that were present when public sacrifices, when the daily public sacrifice was being offered. So there were representatives that from all parts of Israel that were present during the offering of those sacrifices, and that's called Ma'amodam. Well, all of these people who are involved with the sacrificial ceremony, nevertheless, are Mevatlim Avodosim, they stop what they're doing and come to hear the Megillah reading. That is what we accomplish by emphasizing that in the realm of Megillah reading, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim are bound. Number 6, Hakol Chayavim B'Zimun, Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim. Everyone is Chayav in Zimun. This is the group bracha that accompanies the Birchas HaMazon when you have three or more people eating together. So there is an additional bracha called Birchas HaZimun that is recited. So once again, the question is, what do I gain by adding that Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim are Chayav? Pshita, isn't that obvious? Loi tzricha, it is necessary to be taught the ko'achli kodshim, that the kohanim are eating sacrificial meat. Salka daito chamino, I would have thought without this source, the ochlu oisom asher kupar bohem omer achmona. The Torah says that the the meat of sacrifices is eaten, and the eating of the sacrifice actually completes the repentance process, the kapora. The ho kapora hi, and the eating of that meat is considered atonement. Now, the Rabbeinu Gershom adds, you'll notice there's a little star in the Rabbeinu Gershom to help you find where we're reading. The Ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem, Melamed Shakurim Oichlim V'Abaylim Miskaprin. This teaches us that the Kohanim eat the meat, and the owner, the one who brought the sacrifice, gains his atonement. V'ho Achilo Chovohi V'lo Tiboi Zimun. So the Rabbeinu Gershom explains that this is an obligatory type eating, and maybe as a result of that, it doesn't require the zimun brocha to be recited. So that's what I would have thought, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom. If I didn't have the Rabbeinu Gershom, so from the words of the Gemara itself, I might have learned that the question is that the Pasuk is describing the eating as penitence, meaning penitence, and not necessarily characterized as eating that would warrant the Birchas HaZimun. So we continue in the Gemara. Komash molon v'ochalta v'savata omer achmona v'isnehu. The Torah says that you shall eat and gain satisfaction, and that the Birchas HaMozon, that posuk is v'ochalta v'savata. The posuk goes on to say uveirachto as Hashem Elokecha, that as a result of eating, one gains satisfaction, and as a result of that, one makes the bracha. So that even though the nature of the eating might be atonement related, nevertheless, it's inevitable that one also gains a sense of satisfaction. And it's because of that sense of satisfaction that he must make the Birchas HaMozon, and included in that is the Zimun. Hakol mitstarfen lezimun. Kohanim levim v'Israelim. So the Gemara asks, Pshita. The source is telling us that everyone joins up to complete the required number of participants for the Zimun. And they include the Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Well, once again, isn't that obvious? Loi tzricha. The ka'achli kainim truma ukochim. The zor ka'ochil chulin. The scenario is where a kohen is eating truma and the others are eating common material. Truma, or when we say the kohanim eating truma or kochim. So, without this source, salka daita chamina, I would have thought, hoyo v'i bo'i zor l'mecha b'hadi koin lo motzi ochil, emo lo litzarev. If the zar, meaning the non-kohen, wanted to eat that which the kohen is eating, he couldn't eat from that. So there's a sense of separation here. And as a result of that, I would have thought that they're not mitzarev, that Israel can't mitzarif with a kohen because he couldn't eat from the food that the kohen is eating from. Komash malon nihi dezar b'hadi kohen lo motzi ochel. So the source tells us that granted, a zar can't eat from the food that the kohen is eating, whether it be truma or sacrificial meat. Nevertheless, kohen b'hadi zar motzi ochel. The kohen could eat together with the zar. The kohen could eat from the chulin food, and that's enough to create a sense of unity of togetherness, and hence they would join together for the Zimun. The eighth example, Hakol Ma'arichin Koinim Levim Yisraelim. Finally, we get to the relevant citation, and hence one can see how this whole sugya connects with our Gemara, because here we have our Mishnah being cited, that everyone is involved with Erech, Kayanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Marichin, of course, is the process whereby one dedicates his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, that Kayanim, Levim, Yisraelim are Ma'arichin. Oma Rova, Loi Nitzucha, Elo, Leben, Bukhri. This Mishnah that says everyone is Marech, including Kohanim, is necessary to be taught according to the opinion or mindset of Ben Bukhri. Ben Bukhri is an opinion, and his opinion is found in detail in the bracketed section that you see right ahead of us. Now, we wrote in our Gemara, right between the lines, above Ben Bukhri, we wrote the Sover, Kohanim, Einom, Chayovim, B'machzis HaShekel. Ben Bukhri is of the opinion that Kohanim are not obligated to bring the Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel was a national collection of a half shekel from every the population, without getting into details who actually contributed, but it was a general population collection of Machzis HaShekel. Ben Bukhri was of the opinion that Kohanim were not bound, were not chayev in that. So if you skip the bracketed section, Salka Daito Chamina, I would have thought that Hoyul Uksi V'chol Erkecho Yeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. You see, we've dashed, underlined Erkecho and Shekel. So there's a relationship between these two things, Erech, Erechin, which is our topic, and Shekel. And I would have thought, without our Mishnah, Kol the Isei B'Shkolim Isei Berechin, all those who are included or associated with Machzis HaShekel are associated with Erechin, can make an Erechin donation. V'hani Kehanim, Hoyo V'lesnehu B'Shkolim, Kehanim, which according to Ben Bukhri are not bound, are not obligated in the Machzis HaShekel, less Luberichin. So maybe they're not included in Erechin, and that a Kohen Erechin dedication would not have any meaning. Komash Malon, so our Mishnah tells us that even so, Kohanim are Marich. Now, we're going to go over the entire piece of Gemara again, but what we tried to accomplish just now was to show you how to navigate with the markings and to maintain a smooth flow of the Gemara. Before we go any further, we want to take note of what we've written on the side. On the inside margin, there's a star where you can see an explanation of those brackets. Matras ha-sograyim lishma retzef ha-kriya. The purpose of these brackets is to maintain a flow, a smooth reading of the Gemara. And that's what we did. Now, besoch ha-sograyim, within the bracketed section, Muvo hamokor shebo muzgar ben Bukhri l'shitaso. We will show the source, we'll present the source in which Ben Bukhri appears with his opinion. Bosis l'darkenu efshar limtso b'rashi dibra matzchil loy nitzricho. If one looks in the Rashi, on the upper part of the page, you'll see Rashi says, lo nitzricha elo l'ben Bukhri. Beseifa de milsa miforesh ha de rabba. That means at the end of the section, like we did with the brackets, so Rava's explanation will be understood. In other words, Rava said that I need our Mishnah to say Kohanim Levim Yisrael are included in Marichin. I need that for Ben Bukhri. And now, where does Rava's explanation come up? It comes up at the Salka Daita Chamino, meaning what I would have thought had I not had the Mishnah. That's where Rava explains the point. And that's what Rashi's referring to. Once again, we have a structural Rashi, as we oftentimes point out in Gemara markings. In addition to that, we also have there's an internal bracketed section, in other words, a brackets within the brackets, and that, you can see, is an angular brackets a little bit later, and there's a note that accompanies them as well, so, and we'll see there, so Graham Elu Mayu Adim, these angular brackets are designed Levodeid Kushya Partani Al Shitas Ben Bukhri. It's coming to isolate a specific question, a detailed question on Ben Bukhri. After the bracketed section, you notice the use of the house. We've been using house markings till now to emphasize the Hava Mina, what I would have thought had the expression Kohanim Levim Yisraelim not been used. In this case, you notice that the house appears a little different in the sense that it has a colored in tip on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we've noted that this is highlighting the Saka Daita Chamino, Shlosha Shlovim, Litaretz, Loma Kotoni Kayanim, Eitzel Kakol Marichin. Here we have three stages of Salka Daita Chamina presentations, three stages till we get to a final understanding of why I need to have Kayanim Levi'im Yisrael mentioned by Marichin. That having been said, we now go back to the beginning of this section, where we have our diamond number 8 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and we start. Hakol Marichin, Kayanim Levi'im Yisraelim. Everyone can make an Erech dedication. An Erech, of course, is the Torah value, not market value dedication of people. And who makes this dedication? Kayhanim Levi'im Yisraelim. The Gemara asks Pshita. It's obvious that they are able to make this type of dedication. Oma Rova Loi Nitzucha Elo Leben Bukhri. The Tanaic source that says Kayhanim are Ma'arich is needed for Ben Bukhri. And as we said before, and we'll see very shortly, Ben Bukhri is of the opinion that Kayhanim are not Chayev in Machzis HaShekel. And as a result of that, since the Pasuk later on, the Gemara presents it, makes an association between Erechin and Shekel, I would have thought that since they're not Chayev in the Machzis HaShekel, so they're not bound if they make an Erech dedication. So our Mishnah says that they are. Now, in the brackets, we are presented with the background. Desnan, Omar Vyuda, Heyed Ben Bukhri B'Yavne. Ben Bukhri said, announced in Yavne, Kol Kohen, Sheshokel Eino Chote. If a Kohen pays the Machzis HaShekel collection that's made annually, in the month of Adar, the Machzis HaShekel is collected. If a Kohen makes a Machzis HaShekel dedication, so he's not considered a sinner. It sounds from Ben Bukhri that would be better if he didn't do it, but if he does, it's will accept it. Omar lo Rabon Yochanan Zakkai loy kain. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says to Ben Bukhri that is not so. Elo kol kohen she'eno shokel chote. Rather, a Kohen that doesn't dedicate the Masa Shekel is considered a sinner. So the question is, what motivated Ben Bukhri to come to his conclusion? Elo shakehanim dorshin mikro ze liatzmon. The Rav Yochanan Zakkai says that the kehanim mister darshin the following pasuk for their own benefit. In other words, not kedin, not true, but they thought to come up with the following drosha, which would represent Ben Bukhri's approach. And what does it say? The whole minchas kohen kolul tia loy soichal. The Torah says that a meal offering brought by a kohen is completely burnt, not to be eaten. And that's what the Torah says about a meal offering, a minchas kohen brought by a kohen. And that being the case, hoyel the omer ushtei alechem velechem aponim shelonu heim, since the omer, which is a meal offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, a public meal offering, the shtei alechem, it was a weekly set of breads that were set up in the Beis Hamikdash. No, let us correct ourselves. That's the lechem aponim. The shtei lechem were the two loaves brought to the in the Beis Hamikdash on Shavuos, on the holiday of Shavuos, and lechem, which were bread, being it's considered a meal offering, and lechem aponim were the 12 loaves that were set up on a weekly basis in the Heichal. And if we and the monies that were used to buy those korbanos were monies that were from the Machzis HaShekel collection, from the public funds that were collected when they collected this half shekel from the population. Now the Kohanim would reason that since these are Shelonuhem, if we're contributing, so then part of the contribution is from Kohen money. If it's a Kohen associated meal offering, then heich heim ne'echolim. How could they be eaten? And we know that these the omer the shtei lechem lechem upon them were korbanos that were to be eaten. So the kohanim wanted to argue that if we contribute machzis shekel, so part of the machzor shekel funds are kohen based or from kohanim, and they're going to be used to buy these, we'll call them these three different kinds of public meal offerings. If that be the case, so then they should be burnt. How could they be eaten? So it would be better, the kohanim would reason, that we don't contribute the machzor shekel, thereby enabling the oymer shtei lechem lechem upon him to be eaten kadin, like they're supposed to be. So what we see from this is that Ben Bukhri was of the opinion that that kohanim would not contribute machzor shekel. The Gemara now, in these internal brackets, has a technical question on Ben Bukhri. Ula Ben Bukhri nami, keval de lechatchila lo mechayvi lasuye. According to Ben Bukhri, who says that optimally, kohanim are not obligated to contribute the masa shekel, ki maisi nami chotehu, the kamayo chulun lazora. If he does bring, when he's not obligated, but he does bring, so then he is, yes, a sinner. What did Ben Bukhri say in the source above? We said that he said above, any Kohen who contributes Machzor Shekel is not a sinner. But one second, if you're telling me he's not obligated to bring it, if he does bring it, so it doesn't have holiness. If it doesn't have holiness, it's called Chulin. Chulin means common or mundane. And there's a prohibition of bringing the mundane into the Azorah, into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara answers, as far as Ben Bukhri's perception, the Maisi Lahu Umasar Litzibor, they would bring the Machzor HaShekel, their Kohen contribution, and give it over to the public funds. They would make it, they would dedicate it to the public funds, thereby becoming Kodesh and not maintaining its a Chulin status. Let us take a look at the Rashi of the upper part of the page, Shelonuhu. The Kohanim wanted to reason that if they contribute to the Machzor Shekel, then the Oymer Shtei Lechem Lechem Uponim would be ours. Sharei Mitrumas Halishka Hein Boyin. These korbanos, these meal offerings, they were public meal offerings, were purchased from the funds called Trumas Halishka. The im anu shoklim lalishka, if we contribute the Machzor Shekel to the Lishka, to that office that we just referred to, the office that's stored, in which these funds were stored, nimseis minchas ha'oymer shtei lechem lechem aponim mishalanu. It would then come out that these three meal offerings are from us, Kohanim. V'heich necholim, how could they be eaten? V'hoksiv, it says by a minchas koyim loisoichal, that it shall not be eaten. It's rather burnt, it's completely burnt, unlike standard meal offerings brought by the rest of the people, which only a handful is burnt and the rest is eaten. Now, Rashi adds, Uladidon les lon hach drosha. According to us, that's the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was representing. We don't hold from that drosha. Dai kolul tia benichas kain great soksiv. Kolul tia, that it's completely burnt, is a halacha regarding something that's an exclusive minchas kohen. Avo beminchas sibor zil boser ruba. But when it comes to a public meal offering, like we said, the minchas oymer shtei lechem and lechem upon him, you follow the majority, and the majority funds come from non-Kohanim. So there's no din, there's no halacha loy soichal regarding those public meal offerings, even though kohen money was used. When we say kohen money was used, of course we mean that a fraction of the money that was used came from Kohanim. After all has been said and done, we now understand Ben Bukhri's mindset is that kohanim are not obligated in the Machzor HaShekel. So now the Gemara continues with Rava's main point. Salka daito chamina, hoyol uksi v'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh. Since the Pasuk says that, it says erkecha with the word shekel in the same Pasuk, called the isei b'shkolam isei b'erechin. anyone who is obligated to shkolim, reference to the machzis hashekel, he is obligated, or his erichin vow is binding. V'hani kohanim hoyo v'lesnehu b'shkolim, lesnu b'erichin. Kohanim are not chayav in shkolim, according to Ben Bukhri, so I would have thought that they are not included in the erichin dedication. Komash Malon, that's what the source accomplishes by saying that Hakol Ma'arichin Kohanim Levim Israelim, that Kohanim are Ma'arich. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. You'll notice a crown shape, and on the outside margin, we feature this crown shape, these with the tip facing up. That is a kushya. It's a question. In our point on the outside margin, we've indicated parentheses ma'akav. We will be attempting to keep track of the give and take style of this Gemara. So with the points facing up, that represents kushios. Points facing down, tshuvo. So as you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice how this back and forth, this give and take structure unfolds. So turning back to the Gemara, Amar Lei Abaye. Hi v'chol erkecha, the v'chol erkecha is used for something else. V'chol erichin shata marich lo yu p'chusen misela hu da'asa. The pasuk has a totally different role, and we'll mention that in a minute. But we first establish it has a different role, so it never would have led me in the first place to make an association between Erechin and Shkolim. And if I never would have made that association, then the Salka Daita Chamina that we had in number one would fall away. And if that's the case, so then the original question comes back as to what do I really need the Mishnah to spell out that Kayanim V'yam Yisraelim are included in Erech. So Abaye says, once again, the pasuk of v'chol erkecha is needed for something else. It's needed for the following: that any erech that a person makes, you'll have a situation where, let's say, a person makes an erech dedication, but he's impoverished. How much is he expected to give? So we say he shall give no less than a selah. The word selah is a reference to a coin that in the Torah. Sela is a rabbinic expression. The equivalent in the Torah is a shekel. So, being that this pasuk of v'chol erkecha, yeah, b'shekel hakodesh, is telling me that the minimum amount that must be given if a person makes an erech dedication is a shekel, or a sela, I wouldn't have thought that the pasuk is trying to make an association between those who contribute machzah shekel are included in erech donations. Elo Omar Abaye. Itzrich. Itzrich means I need the Mishnah to spell out Kehanim V'yam Yisraelim are included in erech. Sal Kadaita Chamina. Here's a new Havamina, what I would have thought had I not had the Mishnah. What might I have thought? Hayoluksiv ufduyoi miben chodesh tifte beerkecha. Kol di isei bepidyon haben isei beerchin. This pasuk makes a reference to pidyon haben, the redemption of a firstborn child, and it also has the word erkecha in it. Now I would have thought that those who are included in the mitzvah pidyon haben, the need to redeem a firstborn child, so they are included in the realm of erechin. V'hani kohanim hoyo v'lesnu b'pidyon haben, lesnu b'erechin. Kohanim, which many of you know, don't have a pidyon haben obligation. Kohanim, actually the whole tribe of Levi is exempt from pidyon haben. So since they're not included in pidyon haben, they're not included in erechin. Komash Malon, that's what the Mishnah tells us, that we don't make this association, and that Kohanim and Levim, even though they're not included in Pidyon HaBen, nevertheless, they are included in Erech. And if a Kohen or Levi makes an Erech dedication, so it's binding. We have a question now. As you can see, the crown shape appears points up, and on the to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. We have a long question. Omar le Rava, Elo me'ata, Gabi el osham, dichtiv. There's a pasuk, a korban osham, and regarding this korban osham, the pasuk says, "Ve'es ashamo yovil Hashem, ayol tamim minatzon be'er kecha." So there you have a pasuk which speaks about the korban osham, and it also uses the word erkecha. Hachinami, am I going to say the chol deisei be'erchin isei be'el osham? Tumtum vadroginis the lesnu be'erchin lesnu be'el osham. Are we going to make these associations between two points in the pasuk? And if you do that, then in this case, you'll end up saying that anyone who is included in Erechin, if he violates, if he becomes guilty of bringing an Eil Asham, so fine. And if he's not included in Erechin, so he never would come, he wouldn't be obligated to bring this Eil Asham. And if that be the case, we know that Tumtum and Androgynous are people that are not included in Erechin. So are you going to tell me they're not included in the Eil Asham? That's simply not true. If a Tumtum and Androgynous becomes Chayav to bring an Eil Asham, he will bring it, even though he's not included in the realm of Erechin. So the association between two points in the Pasuk, between Erechin and the other point made in whatever Pasuk you're referring to, we see that that's not the way to approach these Pesukim. Elo Oma Rava, V'item Ravashi. So, as we saw before, as a result of Rava's question, we see we don't really understand yet why the Mishnah has to spell out Koyhan Avim Yisraelim are included in Erechin. So Rava explains, Itzdrich, I need the Mishnah to spell that out. Salka Daita Chamina, Hayul Uksiv. Since it says in the Torah, this is with regard to an Oni that makes a dedication, a Torah dedication, an Erech dedication of himself or of someone else. It says, Ve'midoi Lifnei HaKoyhein, Ve'herich Oisoi HaKoyhein. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Yisrael lifnei kohen, v'lo kohen lifnei kohen. The evaluation that's made with regard to someone who made an erech dedication, we have to evaluate whether he is capable of paying this. So the Pasuk speaks about the standing up of the individual in the presence and in front of the Kohen. The Kohen in this Pasuk will be the one to paskin or to establish how much he needs to pay. So we infer from this that the dedicator is someone that's not a Kohen. It's, in other words, someone else is stood up in front of the Kohen. But we would infer, but not a Kohen in front of a Kohen. This is, of course, what I would have thought. From this, I would have thought that that Kohanim are not included in Erechin. Komash Malon, I need the Pasuk to tell me that that is not the way to approach the Pasuk, and hence Kohanim are included in Erechin. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara that indicates that which follows is a new idea. So this, in effect, the upcoming Gemara, in effect, is a quote from that which we saw way back on Daf Beis. We had said over there that the Hakol in the Mishnah, Hakol Ma'arichin V'Ne'arochin, the Hakol word back on Daf Beis in the Mishnah applies to all the different actions mentioned in the Mishnah. So at the word Hakol then includes Ne'erochin. Ne'erochin is a word indicating to be the subject of an Erech donation, whereby someone says, I want to give the Erech of so-and-so. That so-and-so is called the Ne'erach. So we said that expression of Ne'erochin is Lasuye Menuvol Umukeshchin. Comes to include people who don't have any market value, but they do have an erech, a Torah rate. And who are they? A menuvel and mukeshchin are people that are are, we can say in one word, disgusting. People who have all kinds of, let's say, body problems, and hence no one would buy them to work for them as a slave. Hence they don't have a market value, but they are their gender is clear and they have an age. And that's enough to be included in the realm of Erechin. So the Gemara asks, Mino Hani Mili, the Tanu Rabbanan. So here we're asking for sources on what we just said. The Gemara now brings a Tanaic source. This is a long source. You can see it's framed, and it continues a good few lines down Amid Beis. We want to point out ahead of time that this source will be explained by the Gemara itself later on, so that as we go on, if we encounter sections that we're not offering a full explanation for, have no fear. The Gemara itself will explain the source as the Gemara unfolds, namely after the source itself. This point that we're making is also of a structural nature, insofar as that we're announcing ahead of time what the Gemara will be doing later on. Rashi himself points this out in Dibur HaMashal, Erech Sosum. Rashi says, "Lekamen Mefarsh Vekula Brisa Mefarsh Lekamon." A detail in this source called Erech Sosum, which we haven't spoken about yet, will be explained, but not only that, the whole source will be explained later on. So, as you can see, and we point this out often, that Rashi is very sensitive to Gemara structure. So now we continue with the source. Before reading the source itself, there's a pasuk on the side, Vayikra Chavzayim Pasuk Beis, Ish Ki Yafli Neder Be'erkecha Nefashois Lashem. So, based on this pasuk, we start the source, Be'erkecha. Lahavi Erech Sosum. And as we said, that will be explained later. Dover Acher Be'erkecha. Notice we have a little 1 and a 2. These are 1 and 2, as references to what Be'erkecha is coming to teach me. So number 2, Be'erkecha. Erech Kulo Hu Noisein. Veloi Erech Evorim. If a person he states in his dedication, I want to give the erech of someone's arm. That's an aver, a limb. It has no significance. An erech has significance when you're speaking about a total person, not his limb. Yochol shani moitzi avdover shani shama tluyabo. Would I exclude in the same way someone who says, I want to give the erech of so-and-so's heart? The Gemara made reference to Dover Shanashamot Lubo, that's a vital organ without which a person could not live. So are you going to say that the same exemption or exception applies if a person makes an Erech dedication of such a limb? Talmud Lomar Nefoshos. So the word Nefoshos comes to tell me that if a person makes a dedication of a life of a vital organ, that's considered the dedication of the entire person. You'll notice a new marking. This is a double underline with a design between them. The reason for these details is because we always want to make a differentiation between the different series that appear. And above, we had used a double underline with dots in it for highlighting Konavim Israelim. So here we're using this type of double underline to emphasize what we've noted on the side. You notice under the Mivneh heading, a double underline with the design appears, Sidra Shel Drushos Mehamilo Nefoshos. There'll be a series of drushes based on this word Nefoshos. And if you skim ahead in this Tanaic source, you'll notice quite a few of these appear. So as we go on in the Gemara, we'll be counting up to maybe 5 drushes on the word nefashas. We can tell you ahead of time that, in general, multiple uses of one word is considered out of bounds when you're dealing with drushes. The feeling being that the Torah, when it's saying something specific, And to have multiple drushes on the same word would be too general, lacking specificity. However, the Gemara itself will address this issue later on. Continuing in our source, notice we had already encountered a little aleph in parentheses. Here we're using these letters to show the number of drushes on the word nefashas. Before we used numbers, little 1 and 2 that were encircled to highlight the number of drushes regarding Be'er Kecha. Here we're using the lettering for nefashas. So we continue, nefashas velo hames. In other words, this is telling me that if someone were to make a dedication, the erech of a dead person, that would not be binding. Otzi es hames velo otzi es hagoses. Should I exclude just an actual corpse, but not someone who's deathly ill? He's in death throes. That's a goses. Tamud lomar vehemid veherich. A goses is also excluded. He does not have an erech. And I know that from this pasuk, which says, "And he shall be stood up and evaluated." Kol sheyeshno ba'amado, yeshno ba'arocha. Anyone that could be stood up, he can be subject of an erech. Kol she'eno ba'amado, for example, a goses, someone who's in the throes of death, eino ba'arocha. So he's not included in an erech dedication. Dover acher, nefashos. You notice we have this marking, a volcano shape, highlights the presence of Dover Acher in the context of the Nefoshos drushes. Another approach, Nefoshos, Ein Li Elo Echad Sherech Echad. Had I not had the word Nefoshos, I would have thought that an erech takes hold when one person dedicates the erech value of one individual. Echad sherech me'al minayin. What about a person that said that he wants to give the erech of so and so and so and so and so and so multiple individuals? And you'll notice Tosfos at the bottom, he gives us this pshat, echad sherech me'al minayin, kegoin she'omar erech ploni uploni uploni olai. The hiskir erech beloshon yachid. So he says the erech of, and then he goes on to enumerate a number of different people. So Tosfos says the salkadaitoch lo havi erech. I might have thought that erech is something that's binding only when it's in reference or in the context of the value, the Torah value of one person. But to use the term erech and then cite multiple people, I wouldn't know that takes hold. So that's the case of Echot Sherech Me'o Minayin. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara goes on to say, Nefoshos. And from Nefoshos I learned that type of dedication is also binding. Dover Acher, Nefoshos. Now we continue at the top of Dalet Amud Beis. Another approach to Nefoshos is, Ein Li Ela Ish Sheherich. A man that makes a dedication, Bein Ish, Bein Isha, that he gives the erech of either another man or another woman. However, Isha Shericha Ish, Isha Shericha Isha Minayin, what about when a woman is initiating the erech dedication of either the woman speaks about the erech of a man, or the woman speaks about the erech of another woman? From where do I know that is binding? Talmud Lomar, Nefoshos. So from the word Nefoshos, I see that everyone, men and women, are included in initiating the Erech donation. Dover Acher, Nefoshos. L'rabois menuvel u'mukeshchin. Now we've dashed underline this because this is really what motivated the Gemara to bring this source in the first place. And you notice we've dashed underlined that, and we've also included a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating, look at Omid Aleph, and if you go back to Omid Aleph and skim down the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice toward the bottom, where the arrow, the corresponding arrow with an Omid Beis indicator appears. So we're saying that, and this is the fifth drasha from the word nefashos, l'rabois menuvol mukishchin, that they are included in erech. That, namely, if someone dedicates the erech value of a person who is disgusting because of this bodily affliction, the erech is binding. Shiyachol. I might have thought, the pasuk says, neder be'erkecha. This is, once again, as a reference to Vayikruch of Zion Pasuk Beis that we mentioned earlier. Since you see these two words appearing together, the word neder is a reference to a market value. And erkecha is the Torah value. So since the Torah says, neder be'erkecha ksiv, I would have thought, kol sheyeshlo bedamim yeshlo be'erchin. Anyone that has a market value, so he has a Torah value. V'chol she'eino bedamim, anyone who doesn't have a market value, eino be'erchin, so he would not be included in erechin. Talmud lomar nefashos. From the word nefashos, I know to include even those that don't have a market value. As we said earlier, no one would buy as an eved, as a slave, a menuvel nor a mukeshchin. We continue. V'hoyo erkecha. This is from this is a pasuk in Vayikruch of Zion, pasuk vav. We have on the side of the Gemara included this pasuk, and it reads v'im ben chodesh v'ad ben chomei shanim v'hoyo erkecha hazochar chamisha shkolim kesef u'lenekeva erkecha shloishes shkolim kesef. So we also have, by way of markings, we have the we're using on this omid. This is a new omid of Gemara. So we're using a crown marking on this omid for highlighting the expression l'rabois, and here we are coming to a marbe, a tumtum vandragonis l'domim. That means that from this pasuk, v'hoya erkecha, I'm going to marbe, include these two people whose gender is unclear. The tumtum, we've mentioned on previous occasions, is someone whose gender organs are covered over, so I can't see. There's a type of membrane that covers them, so I can't see what gender he is. And androgynous is someone that has a dual gender organs. People like that do, however, have a market value. That's ledomim. Shiyachol. Without this posuk, I would have thought neder berkecha. The posuk, and that was a citation from posuk Zion. It says neder berkecha. I would have thought kol sheyeshno berechin yeshno bedomim. Someone who is included in erechin is included in a domim dedication. Domim is a market value dedication. The whole she'eino be'erechin, like a tumtum and androgynous, they are not included in erechin, because in the realm of erechin, the Torah specifies male or female. And since these people are not clear male nor female, so they're not included in erechin, so eino bedomim. I would have thought that they're not included in if someone were to dedicate their market value, that it wouldn't be of any consequence. Talmud lomar v'hoya erkecha. Hence, I have this pasuk in pasuk vav, v'hoya erkecha, that tells me that tumtum v'androgynous, even though they don't have an erech value, nevertheless they do have a market value. And if someone, that very simply means that a person whose gender is not clear, nevertheless could be bought very easily as a servant. So he has a market value. Ha zohar. This is taken from the pasuk, and we cited this in pasuk vav of Perek Chav Zayin. Zohar v'loi tumtum v'androgynous. The word hazohar comes to exclude these unclear gender individuals. Yachol lo yu be'erech ish, avol yu be'erech isha. If I had just the word hazohar, I would have thought that tumtum v'androgynous would not be associated with an erech value as far as a male is concerned. The Torah gives us a double rate. There's a a male rate and a female Torah rate. So had I had Hazochar alone, I would have thought I'll exclude the Tumtum Vajroganus from the male Erech rate. Avoyuva Erech Isha. Talmud Lomar. Therefore the Pasuk goes on to say, Vaya Erkuch Hazochar V'im Nekevahi. From this we see Zochar Vadai Nekeva Vadoyas. Only a definitive, a definite male, definite female are included in Erechin, Veloi Tumtum Vajroganus, and not these doubtful individuals. Omar Mar. At this point, we now start going over, analyzing the source, and here's a citation from the beginning of the source. If you want to find where you saw this before, Omar Mar is always a quote from something that was mentioned before. You'll notice we have a little star encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an Omen Aleph indicator. If you skim back to Dalet Omen Aleph to the lower part of the page, you'll see where this citation comes from. So it said in the source, Be'erkecha l'rabois erech sosum, to include the case of erech sosum. My erech sosum, what is that? Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. Ha'oimer, one who says erech sosum alai. Someone who says a phrase like that, basically, it's an individual who doesn't makes an erech dedication without reference to a specific individual. The Rashi on the upper part of the page, the first narrow line, Rashi says, Erech sosum shelo omar erki olai v'lo omar erech ploni olai. He didn't say my Torah value or so-and-so's Torah value. El omar harei olai erech. So as far as Rashi is concerned, that's the phrase he said, harei olai erech. What's the result of such a statement? So our source goes on to say that no sein kepochos she be'erchen. He has bound himself to give the minimum amount found in the Torah when it reveals the different rates for the different genders and different ages. He has to give the minimum amount found in the Torah. The kama pochos she be'erchen, how much is that? Shloishes shkolim, 3 shkolim. The Gemara asks a couple of questions of this nature, v'emal, in other words, suggested alternatives. We've squiggle-underlined the word v'emal, introducing each suggestion. V'emal chamishim, if a person said, erech sosam olai, maybe he should give the maximum amount, which is 50. The Gemara answers, when you have a doubt about something, tofasta meruba lo tofasta, tofasta mua tofasta. Tofasta is to grab upon. If you try to take, to grab too much, you might end up with nothing. That's tofasta meruba lo tofasta. And therefore, go for the minimum, and that certainly you will be able to maintain. That's tofasta muat tofasta. So that in a state of doubt, if you have a doubt, go for the minimum, and that will stick. Hence we said 3 shkolim. V'emo shekel. Well, if you're telling me go for the minimum, then maybe he's bound to 1 shekel. Dichtiv. The pasuk says v'chol erkecho yeh b'shekel akodesh. So you see that erech donations can be even 1 shekel. The Gemara says no. That pasuk doesn't have relevance to our case. Hahu beheseg yad hu dichtiv. Rashi, behesig yad, she'im oni hu. If he is a poor person, umoch me'erkecha, and he can't afford to give the donation, the erech donation, lo yarichenu kohen bepochos mishekel. Then the kohen, when he evaluates the individual how much he can afford, he cannot come to an amount any less than a shekel. Aval din erech kotsuv. But if you're dealing with a person who's not impoverished, he's not coming under the rubric of Hesegyad. Hesegyad is a reference to someone who who can or cannot afford. In other words, it's an income level issue. However, if you're dealing with someone that's not impoverished, he is dealing with a fixed erech rate, that's an erech kotzuv, so ein muat migimel shkolim. You don't have less than 3 shekel that's relevant to a non-oni. The Gemara now asks a question that we're going to need the Rashi to explain. The Gemara asks, V'ela kro lamali. What do I need the pasuk of Be'erkecha for? Let's now glance at Rashi. Ela kro Be'erkecha lamai osa. What do I need this word for to begin with? Hoyo V'erech stam eino ela gimel shkolim. Since the basic erech, the minimum erech, is 3 shkolim, below kronami yodana, I would have known on my own that if you have someone that comes along and says, I want to give erech, and he doesn't say whose erech, and I also know the rules of tafasta muat tafasta, so even without a pasuk, I would have known he will give 3 shkolim. To below klum lo miftar, to say that he'll get away with nothing, in other words, be able to say it and not be bound at all, that I wouldn't have said. And less than this, less than 3 shkolim, he can't give, because there's no fixed erech, there's no Torah rate any less than 3. So, do I really need a pasuk to tell me something that I could have concluded on my own? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Baravua, Lomar. The pasuk tells me she'enoi nidoin behesig yad. Namely, a person that comes to say, he says erech sasum, he is not judged at all according to his income level. Namely, even if he doesn't have 3 shkolim, he will have to give. He will become bound. He will be indebted to give 3 shkolim. My taimo, why? Answer, kimeforesh domi. Let us now look at the Rashi. He explains this. Kimeforesh domi, the kevon di omar erech stam olai. Since he said that, V'yodea huze shezeu shepochos shebe'erechin gimel shkolim, and he knows that there is no less than 3 shkolim in the Torah as under the erechin Torah rate. Kaman deoma hare olai gimel shkolim domi. It's as if he said, hare olai gimel shkolim. It is upon me to bring 3 shkolim. V'lo domi l'omer erki olai o erech ploni olai, and it doesn't then match or come under the heading of erki olai or erech ploni, which is a standard erech donation. T'hasam lo mukhamilsa. There, if he says I want to give my erech or I want to give so and so's erech, there it's not so clear as to his insistence. D'ein hakol yoidim es shnoisov. There, it's not mukhamilsa, means it's not clear when he speaks as to what he's referring to, namely how much he's supposed to give, because it's not so clear what the age of the person is, either his own age to the public or other people's ages. Avolacha dover golui hu sherei lo tola b'shum adam. Here, his intention and the amount he has in mind is very clear without any further investigation. As a result of this, he doesn't come under the heading or the standard approach, or he doesn't enter the institution of Erechin. What do we mean by that? Within the institution of Erechin, there are allowances for people's income levels, which we call Hesig Yad. But since he's saying Erech Sosom Olai, and he's not saying Erki or Erech Ploni Olai, he's removing himself from the standard institution of Erechin, and as Rashi said, it's tantamount to his saying, Harei Olai Gimel Shkolim, which is a neder type dedication, a vow, as opposed to an erech. And as a result of that, he incurs a debt of 3 shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, whereby we don't take into consideration his income level. Before going further, maybe we should have noted this a little earlier, you see diamonds appear around Rav Nachman's name with a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There are 2 versions of Rav Nachman. And the second version is introduced with the squiggle underlined expression, Ikar V'Amri. Now, in the margin, we've included, under our Mivneh heading, the diamond with the Roman numerals 1 and 2, and we've written, Shnei Lashonis Barav Nachmon, B'misha Nodar Erech Stam, Im Nidon Behesig Yad. Does he come under, or does he have the benefit of being judged according to his income level, the Yotzei B'Shekel Echad, and he would thereby, the Yotzei, fulfill his obligation by paying 1 shekel, O chayav loseis dafka gimel shkolim, or do we say that he's chayav to give specifically no less than 3 shkolim? So, according to the first version of Rav Nachman, we said he's eino nidon behesig yad. Notice we've dashed on the eino nidon. This will help us contrast version 1 with the upcoming version 2. So, according to version 1, which we already learned, someone who said Erech Stam has to give 3 shkolim in order to fulfill his intent, his vow. The Gemara continues, Ikar D'Amri, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Barvua, Nidon Behesig Yad. We were asking before, what does Be'erkecha come to teach me? So it comes to teach me that someone who said Erech Stam, can benefit from Hesed Yad, from a Hesed Yad evaluation and income consideration. So the Gemara says Pshita. Pshita, it's obvious what's different about this than other Erechin donations, where we take into consideration the possibility of the individual being impoverished, allowing him to get away with less. So what do I need to be taught this for? So Mahu Detema Kimaforesh Domi, I would have thought without Rav Nachman that one who says Erech Stam, it's as if he spelled out, I am accepting upon myself an obligation to bring 3 shkolim. Komash Malon, Rav Nachman tells us that one who says Erech Stam is considered like any other a person who dedicates Erechin. And hence he can be a beneficiary of the Hesed Yad income evaluation. Again, we have a quote from the source that we started on the lower part of Omen Aleph. Tova Acher Be'erkecha, Erech Kulo, Hu Noisein Ve'eino Noisein, Erech Demei Evorim. Another Girsa has Erech Evorim. The Dover Acher, this alternative drosha, says that Be'erkecha tells me that an Erech donation is binding when you make it, when you speak about a person in his entirety, not the Erech of someone's arm. The Gemara asks, V'afiktei le'erech stam, but I used Be'erkecha already for the first drosha, namely that one who says Erech Stam is chayev to pay 3 shkolim. Or, as we saw, for greater accuracy, that I used it already for one who says Erech Stam, whether or not he's nidon behesed yad. So, how can you use Be'erkecha for this new drasha to exclude a limb Erech donation? The Gemara answers, Kri be Erech Be'erkecha. The Torah could have used the word Erech, and since it used the word Erkecha, which is a more expanded form of the word, I'm entitled to an additional drosha as well. Again, you see these frames help you see that these are Tanaic sections, and they're references to the original Tanaic source. Yachal Shani Moitzi Dover Shanashama Tluyabo. The source had said, maybe if you're excluding limbs from Erechin, I'll exclude even vital organs from Erechin. Talmud Lomar Nefoshos. So we notice the little aleph that we have here over Talmud Lomar, so that Nefoshos was used to is used to teach me that a vital organ Erech donation will be binding, because it's tantamount to donating the entire person. Donating the value of the entire person. Now, Beis, Nefoshos, Velo, Es Hames. Nefoshos here is being used to exclude someone who donates the Erech of a corpse. Which, as we said earlier, it doesn't have an Erech. The Gemara asks, but Velo Afikte, I already used Nefoshos to tell me about Eber Shanashama Tuluyabo. The reference to vital organ erech donation. So how can you say nefoshos is used to exclude a corpse? Kribe nefesh nefoshos. The Torah could have used the word nefesh and used an expanded version of the word, thereby entitling me to an additional drasha. Otzi es hames veloy otzi es hagoises. This too is a quote from the original source, whereby we said, okay, we'll exclude the erech of a mace, but maybe not the erech of a goses, of a person in the throes of death. Talmud Lomar vehemid veherich. From that we learned that a goses who cannot stand up, so he is excluded. The word hemid means to be stood up, but since he cannot be stood up, so he's not included in erech. The Gemara asks, e hachi, if in order to be included in Erech, and you need the Ha'amid, the ability to stand up, Meis Nami, Tepuk Li, Mi V'Hamid V'Erech. I could exclude a Meis from that expression, and not from Nefoshos. And if you were to say that, then that would make things even better for what we said above, where we had asked, how can you say Nefoshos teaches me about Meis when I used it for something else? So I'll say at this point, that's right. I don't need Nefoshos for Meis, because Meis is dealt with by this pasuk. So the Gemara says, well, Hachinami, you know, you're right. Hemiverich will exclude Meis. Well, then, V'elo Nefoshos Lomali. So then, V'elo Nefesh Nefoshos Lomali. So what am I going to do with the expanded use of the word nefesh into nefoshos? What am I going to use that for? Notice we have little arrows to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara that just helps you connect to where you saw it just before, at which point the Gemara had said that the expanded version was to exclude a mace. But now I'm saying that mace is excluded from hemed veherich. So the Gemara answers, if you want to know what nefesh nefoshos, the expanded word of use of that word, what it does, kidebo'inon lemeimar kamon. This will have value for us later on. And maybe we'll ruin the story a little bit, but to include a menuvel and mukeshchin, that they will be included in having an erech value, even though they don't have a market value. As you can see, another framed section, again a quote from the long source, Dover Acher, Nefoshos. Ein li elo, echod sheherich echod. Echod sheherich meo minayin. How do I know that if one person makes an erich donation of several individuals, meo, literally is 100, but many, many people, that he is bound? Talmud Lomar, Nefoshos. Dover Acher. Nefoshos, ein li elo ish sheherich, bein ish, bein isha. Isha sheherich ish, the isha sheherich isha minayin. From the pasuk, had it not used the word nefoshos, I would have thought that only a male, makes erech donations. How would I know that a woman also makes erech donations? We should have pointed out that this is, of course, a reference to the pasuk, which says and it's, Rashi quotes this at the very top of the page, Ish ki afli berkechon nefashos. So the pasuk make the Torah makes a specific reference to Ish, a man. How do I know about a woman making an erech donation? So for that, we have the word nefashos. That's Talmud Lomar nefashos. Dover Acher, the Gemara continues on the second wide line, nefashos lahavi menuvol umukeshchin. And the word nefashos comes to include in the realm of erechin these disgusting type people. The Gemara asks, v'ha afikte lahanoch, but I used nefashos already for echad sherich mea and for isha shericha. So the Gemara answers, Hanoch lo tzrichi kra. Those don't need an additional pasuk. My taima, why do you say that? Answer, ki shakul hu. V'yavo kulam. Ki itzrich kra l'menuvol umukeshchin hu de'itzrich. Rashi is much clearer than the Gemara itself, so let us look at the Rashi together. There's a little star that we've included. You'll notice a double star in the Rashi, which helps you to find what we're looking at. Shokol hu. E. Have kosiv nami nefesh. Had the Torah written just the word nefesh as opposed to nefoshos, Have osu kul hu. I would have darshened all of these drushes bein dover shanashlama tluya bo, bein echot sherich mea, u bein isho shericho. These three drushes could have all been determined or derived from the presence of the word nefesh. The nefesh mashma isha. The word nefesh includes woman. Umashma nefashos harbe, and it also includes many, the multiple individuals. That's the case of echad sherich mea. And where do we see the word nefesh as a reference to a plural? Keinyon shenemar v'nefesh adam min anoshim shishoser elef. There you have the word v'nefesh, and you can see in that pasuk itself there's a reference to shishoser elef, 16,000, which is quite a large number. The afagav the mechad nefesh lo motzino midrash gimel drushes. Even though in general from one word I couldn't derive three different drushes, nevertheless havu osu kuhu dashkulin heim. All three drushes could be derived in this case because they're all of equal weight. The shavos and shkulin, they're balanced and of equal value. V'nishmos mimikrozeh, and they can all be derived from this pasuk. V'lo motzis l'ukma l'ha droshet fei meha. It's not, the word nefesh doesn't sound to be a clear reference to one any more than another. V'hei minayu mafkis, which one will you exclude if you were put to the test? Hilkakulu asumine. Therefore, they all come from minei, meaning from nefesh. Now, the expanded word v'nefashos, that is itzderich l'muvu mukishchin. The lo tim atinu mineder be'erachin. The word nefashos comes to include the expanded use of the word nefashos. Comes to tell me that menuvu mukishchin are included in erachin, and not to exclude them from the fact that the Torah uses neder with erkecha, with neder with word erech, which would have led me to say only people that have a market value are included in erechin. So the Gemara here was leading up to this point that nefashos, the expanded use of that word, is for the inclusion of menuvel and mukeshchin. We could point out, by the way, that the Gemara that we just finished learning was, in effect, a long answer, and that is illustrated by the long answer marking that you that we have included to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We also have a slash in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. V'hoya erkecha. Now, in order to find where this quote is coming, we've included a double asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up the page to the upper part of the page, you'll see the line on which this quote comes. So, v'hoya erkecha, l'rabois tumtum v'adreginis l'domim, to include these unclear gender individuals as having a market value. The Gemara asks, and before we go on in the Gemara, notice we have a ma'akav marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. You see a triangle featured, and we've written ma'akav to keep track. Point facing up, kushios, point facing down, tshuvos. So if you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that this give-and-take style continues in the Gemara for a while. In fact, if you have Daf Hey Omid Aleph available, you'll notice how this give-and-take really continues quite a bit down Hey Omid Aleph. So the Gemara starts with its questioning here, Domim Loma Likra. To tell us that a Tumta Adrogenes have a market value, what do I need a pusuk to specify that for? Lo yehelo demei dikla. They shouldn't be any worse than if someone dedicated the value of a tree. Ilomar demei dikla mi lo yoyev. If a person had said, I want to donate to the Beis HaMikdash the value of a dekel, of a palm tree, would he not be obligated? Certainly he will be obligated. So what difference is there between that versus someone saying that he wants to give the domim, the market value of a tumtum and androgynous? What do I need a pusuk to bring out the obvious? Omar Rava, loimar shenidoin b'chvoidoi. What I gain from this pusuk v'yaberkecha means that he is evaluated. The tumtum androgynous is evaluated even according to his a vital organ, which would mean if someone said he wants to give the value of the heart of some tumtum, he'll be obligated to give the entire value of that individual. Salka daito chamino. Without this drosha, I would have thought neder be'erkecha ksiv. Kol sheyeshna be'erkecha nidon b'chvodo. Anyone who is included in the parsha of erechin, so he is subject to this concept of nidon b'chvodo, which means vital organ value, which means the entire person. V'chol she'eino be'erechin, eino nidon b'chvodo. And anyone who's not included in Erechin, like a Tumtum Vandraginus, I would have thought, Eino Nidon Bechvodo, that their heart or vital organ donation would not be binding to Mechayev to bind payment of total person. So this pasuk of Vahaya Be'erkecha comes to tell me that even though the Tumtum Androgynous are not Be'erechin, nevertheless, they are Nidon Bechvoidai. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading that will help us to introduce the upcoming or the continuation of this discussion. So under the nosei, we've written Mosai Aminon Nidon Bechvoidoi. When do we apply this concept of evaluating a vital organ as a reference to the entire person? Aver Shanashama Tluyaba Im Hikdish Oisai Hikdish Es Kula. If a person makes a dedication of a vital organ, so he's in effect making a dedication of the entire behema, in the case of animals. We'll speak about Kotshe Mizbeach and Kotshe Berek Habayis kamo erchin. We'll speak about donations of animals to the altar, to be offered as a sacrifice, and we'll speak about donations to the temple repair fund. For example, erechin. Erechin is money that a person will donate to the Bedek Habayis fund. So the last point that we made was to make a to raise a havamina that I needed the pasuk to counter. Now the havamina was that if, and we actually included some underlining just before to help you see this more clearly, that if one is included in erechin, so there is nidon bechvodo. If it's not included in erechin, so it's not nidon bechvodo. That's what I would have thought without the pasuk. The pasuk comes along to tell me that even if someone is not in erechin, he still is nidon bechvodo. And the example of that was the tumtum v'nadreginus. Omar le abaye, a question, and that's what you see with the triangle point up. Udalo ise be'erechin mi nidon bechvodo. Is the conclusion that we just reached really true? Namely, if someone is not in erechin, is he yes nidon bechvodo? V'ha tanya. We have a long question. You'll notice the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical line, showing us all of this is part of the question. In order to, let's say, we'll say get to the main point, we'll have to go through a significant amount of material. V'ha tanya. We have the following source where a person says, Roish Eved Zeh Hektish. The person says, "I want to sanctify or dedicate the head of a particular eved, of a slave. He wants to makdish the head of a slave. What's the result? Who vehegdish shutfin bo? The result of that dedication is that the owner and hegdish are joint owners of this eved. Roish eved mochur loch. Let us say someone says, "I'm selling you the head of this eved." Mishamnin Veinehem. That means an evaluation of this person is made and they split the money between them. Roish Chamor Ze Hektish. We should point out, by way of markings, the Aleph and Base use here highlights each time Hektish is referred to, as opposed to each time Mochor, Mechira, sale is referred to. So here we have a second example, a Roman numeral number 2. A person dedicates Roish Chamor Ze Hektish. Person is Maktish, the head of a donkey. And we've written above this that a donkey is not Be'erechin. He's not included. There's no concept of Erechin that applies to a donkey. Yet it says, Hu Ve Hektish Shutfin Bo. Now here's an example of someone or something that's not be'erechin. Now according to the rule that we had above, we said something that's, as we would say, the conclusion that we had above, that even someone who's not be'erechin is nidon bechvodo. Now the head of this animal is a vital organ, and the chamor is not be'erechin, and he dedicates the head. He's dedicating a vital organ. The result is, it says, huveg de shutfin bo. He, the owner and Hegdish, are joint owners, and yet we don't say that it's kulo Hegdish, that the whole animal becomes Hegdish. According to the suggested rule above, that the rule of vital organs, one would have expected that the person who dedicates the head of this donkey, true, it's not Berechin, but still, it would have been nidon bechvodo, which means that the whole thing should become hegdish. But it doesn't say that here. It says they are partners. Roish chamor mochur loch mishamnin beinehem. If a person says that he's dedicating he's selling the head of a donkey, so they are the animal is evaluated and they basically become, half is then sold. Rosh Pora Mochur Loch.
lo mochar elo roisho shel pora.
Notice here the order of things is presented in a reversed form, so that's why we have a little bays in parentheses, because here mechira is presented first, and the next line hektish will be presented. And this is a third example of statements. So we have a Roman numeral number 3. So here we're talking about someone who sells the head of a para. What is the result? Lo mochar elo roisha shel para. As far as this is concerned, the head is the only limb that is sold. Velo oid elo afilu roish para hektish. Ein lehektish elo roisha. If a person would have dedicated the head of the para, only the head is hektish. The Omar Rav Papa. Now, regarding the case of the para, why do we say only the head is sanctified? Deha mizdevin reishu d'rubei tapcha. Because heads of cows are things that are sold as separate entities in butcher shops, beitapcha and butcher shops. So since they're sold as separate entities, when one is makdish the head, it becomes sanctified as a separate entity. Now, here the Gemara comes to the main point. The ho chamor upara. Less nu be'erichin. These are examples of things that don't have erich. Erich is something that's reserved for human beings, so, and not animals. These are things that are not included in erichin. And what do we see? V'ein nidon b'chodo. They're not judged according to vital organs. Now, that's a terse way of pointing out the problem. However, this is a question. Above we said that in our Komash Malon that we had above, the Pasuk of Vahoya Erkecha was telling me that even things that are not Be'erichin, nevertheless, they are evaluated using the vital organ standard, which means vital organ dedications really means entire entity is being dedicated, because it couldn't live without the vital organ. Yet, what do we see here? We see head of chamor, of donkey, head of cow. Cow and donkey are not included in Erechin, and yet in the source we saw that he, the owner, and the owner of the animal, and Hegdish, were either shutfin, or in the case of the para, only the head is dedicated and not the rest of the animal. According to the concept of nidon b'chvodo, if a person would have been makdish, the head of whatever, then the whole thing would have become kodesh. So that's the question. Now, a response to this question is as follows. Ulitameich tikshi loch eved. According to you, who are asking, you're coming from a standpoint where you seem to be saying that if something would be be'erichin, then it would be nidon b'chvodo. That's what since you're trying to challenge our answer before, whereby we said something that's not be'erichin is nidon b'chvodo, you don't like that, so you sound like you're saying that something that is be'erichin, then it's nidon b'chvodo. So I could ask back on you, Eved the Isei Be'erichin, an Eved, a slave is included in the parish of Erechin. So according to you, you would have anticipated, then that certainly would be Nidon Bechvodo, and yet, V'ein Nidon Bechvodo. We saw in this very source, where a person said, Roish Eved Zehegdish, Hu Vegdish Shutven Bo. He, the owner, and Hektish are partners in it. Well, what happened to Nidon Bechvodo? If a Nidon Bechvodo, vital organ, head is vital organ, then the whole thing should have been sanctified. The whole Eved should have been sanctified. Well, and yet you see in this source that even though something is included in Hektish, is included in Erechin, there is no Nidon Bechvodo. In fact, as you look over this whole source, you don't see any example of Nidon Bechvodo.
Elo loy kashya. There's no problem, no question. There are different realms of hektish. Ha bekotshe mizbeach, ha bekotshe berek habayis.
The brisa that we most recently saw was not nidon bechvodo, that's talking about things dedicated to the altar. Now, you can't bring a donkey to the altar, and you can't bring an eved to the altar, but the meaning is, as Rashi explains, he is dedicating the value of these things to the mizbeach, meaning he'll take the value and buy a sacrifice to be offered on the mizbeach. Now, we should mention that the concept of nidon b'chvodo was learned earlier from the word nefoshos. In fact, this we saw at the very beginning of the source, at the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Bryce had said, Yochoshni motzi abdomer sham shom atluya bo, tamud lomar nefoshos. Now, where does the word nefoshos appear? It appears in the context of kodshe bedek habayis. It kind of appears together with erechin. Erechin was a bedek habayis dedication. So the whole concept of nidon b'chvodo is a bedek habayis concept. Therefore, this source that spoke about the head of the three cases, the head of the slave, head of the donkey, head of the poor, that whole source was talking about, as the Gemara answers right now, Kotshe Mizbeach. And as such, the concept of Nidon B'chvodo doesn't get started. However, the drosha before that was coming off V'hoya Erkecha, in which we were Marba included in Tumtum Androgynous, to say that they are Nidon B'chvodoi, that is in the Parsha of Erechin, which is Kotshe Berek Habayis. The Gemara asks, "B'mai ukimta be'kodshe mizbeach? How did we set up the brisa with the roish pora? You said that's talking about kodshe mizbeach, and therefore there's no nidon bechvoidoi. Well, emo seifa. Well, and let's look at the seifa of that source. It said, "V'loy oid elo afilu oma roish pora zu hegdish ein lehegdish elo roisha." If a person was makdish, the head of the para, and now we're saying that that means he was makdish it to the mizbeach. The result of that is that hekdish gets only the head. The Beis Hamikdash, the temple fund, or the korban fund gets only the value of the head. Who am I? Why do you say that? Tifshot kedusha b'kula. The sanctity that he mentioned should spread through the whole animal. There's a concept of spreading Kedusha. Mi lo tanya, do we not have the following Tanaic source in which this concept is featured? Ha'oime raglo, at the top of Hey Omer Aleph, a person who says, raglo shelzu oila. He dedicates the leg of an animal as an ola, that's a type of korban. Yachote kula oila, do you think the whole thing would become an oila? The whole animal would become an oila? Tamad lomar. Kol asher yitein mimenu l'Hashem yeh kodesh. Mimenu kodesh v'lo kulo kodesh. From this we learn, not only the value of the leg would be kodesh, but not the whole thing. We have to point out ahead of time, this concept of v'lo kulo hekdesh, that's because his dedication was of the leg. The Gemara, after the source, will point out that's only because it's a non-vital organ. However, had he been makdish a vital organ, then the whole thing would have become kodesh. So, if you're saying that the source at the lower part of Omid Beis, where we spoke about the three different cases, is talking about kodesh mizbeach, I don't understand the seifa of that source. Now, let's continue in the source. Third line from the top. Yochol teitze l'chulin. If a person, let's say, dedicated the leg of an animal as an ola, would simply go free? Talmud lomar yiyeh. Bahav yosa tehe. Yiyeh is in the pasuk. It says yiyeh kodesh. And that means it remains as it is. It means it's sanctified. Well, how do you deal with this? Hog ketzat. How do you deal with an animal that's leg is sanctified and the rest is not? Timocher letzorche olos. It shall be sold to people that need a korban ola. So you'll sell this animal to someone that needs to bring a korban ola. V'domeho chulin chutz midmei oisa eivah sheba. And the money that you get from selling it will be basically mundane, common money, except for the value of that limb that you had dedicated. That amount will be holy. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, these three Tanoim say, Minayin loy miraglo shel zu oilo shekula oilo. Here we see the spreading Kedusha. Talmud Lomar, Kol asher yitain mimenu l'Hashem yekodesh. Larabos es kula. They are of the opinion that even if one dedicated just the leg, the whole thing becomes kodesh from this pasuk of kol asher yitain. V'afilu l'mandamar ein kula oilo. And even according to Rabbi Meir, who said it's not completely an ola, because there is no spreading of sanctity. That's when the partial dedication or the dedication of the limb was a non-vital organ. But if one dedicated a vital organ, for example, like the head of the para, then the whole animal would become kodesh, would become sanctified. So why did it say in the source before at the bottom of Daled Amud Beis that only the head is kodesh? The Gemara answers, loy kashya. Basically, there is vital organ spread of kedusha, and there's also the point that was made in the Brisa that only the head is kodesh. Ha bekedushas haguf, ha bekedushas domim. If you're talking about an animal that you're dedicating to the Mizbeach, then that's Kedushas Aguf, where the animal itself will be brought as a sacrifice. Then we say there is spreading of Kedusha. The Brisa, which spoke about Rosh Kedusha, there he wasn't dedicating the animal, he was dedicating its value. That's Kedushas Domim. He didn't have any intention of bringing the animal itself. He wanted to dedicate the value of the animal, in this case the value of the head, towards bringing another korban. In that case, there is no spreading of kedusha. Now, you might ask, how do I know that the Brisa was talking about Kedusha's Domim? So Rashi explains, because in the Brisa, Pora was taught together with Eved and Chamor, which are certainly not, they cannot have Kedushas Aguf, they can't be brought themselves, a slave nor a Chamor cannot be brought itself as a sacrifice. Hence, I know that the source was dealing with Kedushas Domim. And that's why we're explaining now that there was no spreading of sanctity. Question. V'ho mar hu di omar, but haven't you taught Makdish Zohar Ledomov Kadosh Kedushas Aguf, that if someone is Makdish, a male animal, which could be brought as a Korban Ola, and he says, I Makdish this male with regard to its value, in other words, with its value, with the value of this male animal, I will bring a Korban Ola, and yet it gets Kedushas Aguf. Now, once it gets Kedushas Aguf, even if, let's take the example of our Rosh Pora. You wanted to say that our Rosh Pora was a case of Kedushas Domim. But wouldn't this rule apply? That if you're Makdish something that's Roy for the Mizbeach, and you say, I'm Makdish its value to the Mizbeach, it itself becomes Kodesh. And we just said before that if you have Kedushas Aguf, then there is spreading Kedusha. So, in the case where he said Rosh Parah for Demei Ola, the whole thing should become sanctified. And yet, why does it say in the source, then, that it only the head is sanctified? Loi Kashya. Ha de'akdish kula, ha de'akdish chad ever.
This idea that if a person is makdish something ledomov, it automatically gains kedushas aguf, that's only where you makdish the whole thing ledomov, the whole animal ledomov. Then it will automatically gain kedushas aguf, whereby the animal itself will be brought as a sacrifice. However, our source at the bottom of Amar Alfut spoke about the head of the parah. He was makdish only a limb. Only a limb lidomov. So that far we don't go. We don't go so far as to say, well, when he's makdish the limb, then the whole thing becomes kodesh, and migu that the whole thing becomes, and since the whole thing becomes kodesh lidomim, so the whole thing will become kodesh lekedushas aguf. That would involve a double migu, as Rashi explains. Let's look at the Rashi. You can see we've marked off the Rashis with little house markings. The second one, the Rashi says, Kegoin Hocha, the Omar Roish Poro Ledme Ola. If a person dedicated the head of a Poro as its value toward an Ola, Lo Amrinon, we don't say, Migu the Kodesh Chad Ever Kodesha Nami Kula, since one limb has become kodesh, the whole thing, that's the spreading kedusha. Umigu de nochtole kedushas damim nochtole kedushas haguf. And once the whole animal then becomes sanctified, we would then say that not only does it have kedushas damim, but it also has kedushas haguf. That's a function of using two migus, this concept of since. Utre migu lo amrinon. We don't say that. It's going too far. In other words, you're going from the kedushas damim of the head to the entire animal gaining kedushas aguf. The Gemara goes on with a question. V'chad ever nami ibayo lon. But one second, the issue of one limb was, in fact, the subject of a question. Does the kedusha spread throughout the whole animal? The boy Rava, hiktish aver ledomov mahu. If a person dedicates the value of a limb, does the whole animal become kodesh? And if the whole animal becomes kodesh, does it gain kedusha saguf? In other words, there the issue of do we apply two migus was raised as a question. Now, if our pshat in the Braisa is so clear that it doesn't spread throughout the whole animal when you're makdish and aver ledomov, so then this question should never have been raised. The Gemara responds. Ki ibayalon betam. The question of dedication of one limb, lidomim, and the subsequent spreading throughout the whole animal, that was raised when you're dealing with a non-blemished animal. Hocha bebalmum dumya dechamor. Our braisa, which has a clear stance with regard to the issue, namely that only the limb is sanctified, that's because we're dealing with a blemished animal. Now, how do I know that? Because the case of the parah, the cow, was taught together with a chamor. The chamor is a donkey. And a donkey, we can say, is the ultimate in blemish, meaning it's something that's completely not fit. The Gemara asks, Baal mum nami ibaya ibaya lon, but the issue of the blemished animal, it was also raised as a question. The boy Rabo, Demei Roshi Legabi Mizbeach Mahu. If a person dedicated the value of his own human head toward the Mizbeach, toward buying sacrifices, what is the din? So we see that if it seems so definitive in a moment before that the case of Baal Mum, there is no spreading of sanctity, here the issue of Baal Mum is raised as a question. The Gemara responds, Ki ibayalon, when was the issue of Baal Mum raised, the issue of singular limb of blemished entity, does the kedusha spread? That issue was raised. Mekami de Ashmulaha Masnisa. That's before this braisa
that featured the Rosh Parah was learned. Hashta deshama ha masnisa. Now that we've learned this Tanaic source that spoke about the head of the Parah, and it was clearly stated that the Kedusha does not spread, lo mibayalon. It no longer is a question. In other words, regarding the issue of singular limb of blemished animal, does the Kedusha spread? No, the answer is no, it doesn't spread. But that the answer is now available to us because we have learned this Brisa. Brisa sources were not well known to the Gemara in the same way that Mishnayos were well known. So hence, you'll have situations where questions were raised whose answer was found in a Brisa. Even though the Brisa is of an earlier historical nature, nevertheless, many Amoraim didn't learn those Brisas. They weren't well known. And hence, the Gemara here says, yes, we raised the question concerning Baal Mum before we learned the Brisa. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.